This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. As I said on Friday in the Jumu'ah, tonight is a cultural milestone that we normally gather on this night. And in the old days, we would say that we would gather to celebrate what is called Laylatul Bara'a, commonly known as Zuruwa, also known as Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban. And as I said to you on Friday, that whether you are here tonight or whether you're not here tonight, does not affect your status as a Muslim, nor your standing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nor is there anything special happening in the heavens or on earth tonight. Tonight, significance is that it is one of the nights of the month of Sha'ban. I repeat, tonight is a night of either the 29 days, 29 nights of Sha'ban, or 30 nights of Sha'ban. Why am I saying that? Because the only hadith or hadith which are authentic deals only with the whole month of Ramadan. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had fasted more in the month of Sha'ban outside of Ramadan than any other month. And that was to prepare himself for the month of Ramadan. We don't have a celebration called Nisfu Sha'ban done by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, neither by the Khulafa'ur Rashideen, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, nor by the other Sahaba, nor by the Tabi'een, those who followed the Sahaba, nor by our illustrious ancestors in the deen, whom we all know, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. None of these men celebrated a night called Laylatul Nisfu min Sha'ban or Laylatul Bara'a or Shabi Barat. There are conflicting historical views on when this night was instituted and by who it was instituted. Some say it was 600 years after the Hijrah and so forth and so on. But be that as it may, I think the benefit that we can to get from tonight is that all of us have made Maghrib in Jama'ah and all of us are going to make Isha in Jama'ah. And if we can have every night, subhanallah, if we call every night Nisfu Sha'ban, I don't mind. Because we'll all be here like this, mashallah, for the Salah of Maghrib and the Salah of Isha. So people call this a bid'atun hasana. And I don't want to go down that road. They call it a good innovation. And we've been celebrating this for many, many years, here and in other parts of the world. And I'm not saying that what we did was right or wrong. All I'm saying, it is not part of the Sharia. And this term, bid'atun hasana, just shortly, 2-3 minutes I'm going to spend on this. 2-3 minutes, because you've heard so much of this word that we know that a bid'ah is that which is something which is innovated in the deen of Allah. In addition to the deen of Allah. Not connected to your business, not connected to your culture and your customs and your diet and your cuisine. Bid'ah, when we in Islam talk about bid'ah, when the ulama talk about, when Muslims talk about, we mean something added to the ibadah. For example, like Nisfu Sha'ban. People think it's an ibadah. You have to be in the masjid. Certain things happen on this night. If you're not here, you're going to fall short of what is happening. Which is not so. And there are some people who want to make us believe that this bid'ah hasanah is actually part of Islam. Part of the deen. Which also is not so. Imam Malik rejected bid'ah hasanah outright. Imam Malik said there's no such thing as bid'ah in the kharij. End of story. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said no such thing as bid'ah at all in the deen. Can't add anything. Imam Abu Hanifa said there are some people who misinterpret Imam Shafi'i and says that he regarded, he said there could be bid'ah in hasanah. I'm a student of Imam Shafi'i. I'm a follower of Imam Shafi'i. I reject that with all the contempt he deserves. Imam Shafi'i never said such a thing. So, there are other people, obviously, ulama, scholars, non-scholars, who say, yes, there is something called bid'atun hasanah, a good innovation. My personal opinion, having read and studied these matters for many, many years, I've come to the conclusion that if Allah should ask me on the day of Qiyamah, when I stand in front of Him, Fa'iq, where in my Quran do I talk about bid'ah hasanah? Where did your prophet that I sent to you mention bid'ah hasanah? What will I say to him? Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, no, it's not in your Quran. O my Lord, it's not. Your prophet never used the word bid'ah hasanah at all. So I have to tell you that our Islam is complete and these things don't exist. Why was it then practiced before our time? I think there are many social reasons why it was. First of all, I remember as a child coming to this masjid. When, where I'm sitting now, there was a house. I think Shaim will probably know better what was here where I'm sitting. There was a bedroom here, I think. This mosque was about as small as maybe about 100 people were going to the mosque until the first pillar. Yeah. This mosque was until the first pillar. Now, I used to frequent this masjid, come here quite often. Because my father did some business in this area, selling things. And I remember whenever I came to this masjid, there was nobody in this masjid. Maybe one or two people. Maybe the imam only. Maybe three people. And this can be said for many masjids in Cape Town. We used to go dhuhr to the masjid, or don't even talk about fajr. So I think maybe there was a need for the ulama or the imams or the maulanas at the time to try to get people to come to the masjid. So that they could be enlightened as to how important it is to gather in the masjid. But what happened was people used to only then come to the masjid on the big nights. People used to come to the masjid. I know, I lived in Lhasa. My father was imam there for 30 years. People never came to the masjid. Only they there for Ruwa, Miaraji, Datul Qadr, Eid and Eid. The old people will know what I'm talking about. Older people will know what I'm talking about. See, there was a great need to get people to come and to really make them scared if they didn't come on those very nights to the masjid. Today, alhamdulillah, we have reach a stage where we all know the importance of salah. People are coming to the masjids, expanding, getting bigger and bigger. Communities getting bigger. People realize it's their personal responsibility to come to the masjid. And it is not my duty, nor my responsibility, nor my part of my deen to place on you a responsibility which Allah and His Prophet did not place upon you. I've said this to you before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran. In the Quran is called what is called ahkam, rules and regulations. These ahkam, rules and regulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the shoulders of the mukallaf. The adult, mature, sane Muslim. Salah is for the mukallaf. Zakah, there's a difference of opinion about zakah. Zakah, is zakah fard on your money or on the person? Imam Shafi'i says zakah is fard on the money. So if you have a child who is one day old but has a banking account, in other words, that child's father died and left money for that child, then that child, you as the guardian of the child, has to pay zakah on the money. So that one fard doesn't require you to be an adult. Although Abu Hanifa says, no, zakah is fard on the dhimma, meaning your mental state, you must be sane. But be that as it may. So, your shahada, your salah, your fasting, your hajj is only for those who are mukallaf. So all the ahkam, the rules which Allah has said, is for the mukallaf. That is why when you learn, when you study fiqh or usul fiqh at an institution, a university, wherever it may be, the first thing they teach you is, when does the rule apply? Where does the rule come from and when does the rule apply to you? They will tell you, Al-Hukmu Khitabullahi Ta'ala Al-Muta'allaq Bi-Af'al Al-Mukallafin. They will say to you that all the rules and the regulations are a direct command from Allah, which Allah has placed upon the shoulders of the sane, adult, mature Muslim. That is the definition of a hukum, of a ruling. Haram from Allah. Halal from Allah. Salah from Allah. Hajj from Allah. Everything comes from Allah. All the rulings of deen comes directly from Allah. Khitabullah. Not Khitabur Rasul. Not the instruction of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, Khitabullah. Khitab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all your religious obligations, all your religious, anything to do with aqidah, belief, ibadah, worship, must come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before it becomes your responsibility. Before Allah. So I cannot, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa usa. And Allah says He will not give you taklif or responsibility which you cannot carry. So this night is not a hukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give an instruction that this is part of your responsibility as a Muslim. So who am I, this small man sitting here in front of you, to place a responsibility and to say, oh, you know, fananas ru'an, ila mud masituhan, of ila mud didun. No, 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 no. I can't. I'm not empowered, nor do I have the authority to say that. Don't have it. So, the question of course arises as to now, why? And where does this come from? I have a book in front of me, and I've read all the ahadith concerning this night about the Prophet ﷺ and gone to the Maqbara, and have made dua for the dead, and so many other hadith about Laylatul Nisf in Sha'ban and what had happened Laylatul Nisf in Sha'ban. This is a book of fatwa. You know what a fatwa is? It is an opinion written by a scholar concerning a question he is asked. And this book consists of a number of fatwa written by a man by the name of Mahmoud Shaltut, who was the rector of Al-Azhar University, Sheikh Al-Azhar, from the year 1953, I think, to the year 1981. He was born sometime in the 18th century. He was a follower of two of the great reformers of Islam, namely Rashid Rida and, can't get to the other name now, but Muhammad Abdu, two reformers thinkers in Islam. He must have been a great scholar to have been appointed the Sheikh al-Azhar. He must have been the most outstanding scholar of his time. And he was asked the question about the celebration of this particular night. Now, the first proof that those who are for this night to be celebrated quote a verse in the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Dukhan. Surah Al-Dukhan, which is the 44th surah of the Holy Quran. And this could be verse number 3 or verse number 2. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah. Where Allah says, and we have sent it down on a blessed night. Inna kunna mundirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily we are ever warning, we're always warning mankind. Fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. And Allah says, on this night, Allah decrees. Every important matter is decreed on this night. Which night? Laylatun Mubaraka. The blessed night. Allah doesn't say the middle of Sha'ban. No. Allah says, the blessed night. Amran min indina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every matter which is our responsibility, every matter which only we deal in, which is every matter which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make a decision about. Those matters are determined on which night? Not Nisfu Sha'ban, Laylatul Mubarakah, a blessed night. Inna kunna mursilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we are the ones who send the prophets. Rahmatan min rabbik, as a blessing from your Lord. Innahu was sami'ul alim. Verily Allah is all hearing, all knowing. This is one of three verses of the Holy Quran. This is one of three verses. So this verse mentions specifically a blessed night in which every important matter in which only Allah has authority is determined. Doesn't say which night. It just says a blessed night. That's the first verse. The second verse that talks about a particular night is Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Allah says, we verily have revealed or sent down it on the night of power or night of Qadr. What's the first verse say? Inna anzalnahu. We have sent down it. Second verse again. Inna anzalnahu. We have sent down it. First Allah says, on a blessed night. In the second verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the night of power. Must be the same night. Allah says, we send down that particular, must be the same night. The third verse makes clear the month in which the night was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. The third verse makes clear the first two verses, in that the third verse says, The month of Ramadan is the month in which we sent it down, meaning we sent down the Quran. So what is that which was sent? The Quran. When was it sent? On a blessed night. When was that blessed night? Laylatul Qadr. So this night is in fact the night of Laylatul Qadr, not tonight. Night of Laylatul Qadr. And these three verses, of course, confirms to the non-Muslims that this Quran was not from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a blessed night, namely the night of Laylatul Qadr, which is in the month of Sha'ban. MashaAllah, you're actually listening to me, subhanAllah. The month of Ramadan. So it's clear then that the blessed night is the night of Laylatul Qadr. Now there are certain issues which I'm sure you all have seen this little booklet. Somebody's giving it out free of charge, and in it is the dua of Laylatul Qadr for Sha'ban with its meaning and Yasin and so forth and so on. Now in this dua, there are three things which we ask Allah to change for us. We actually do that. I've been doing that all my life. Ask Allah to do this for me, and Allah ask Allah to actually wipe out this and make me like that and do this. First, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us three things. If He wrote that we were going to be poor, He must make us rich. We ask Him. If we are going, if we are sad and lonely and depressed, and we're taking antidepressants, and we are bipolar, whatever it may be, He must remove all that from us, and He must make us good and sound, and make us happy. And number three, if He has written for us a short lifespan, He must please make it longer. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong. Can't be wrong. You can ask Allah anything. Any Muslim can ask Allah for anything. Because I don't know how long I'm to live, so I can say, Ya Allah, please lengthen my umr. No problem. I do it every day, after every salah, ask Allah to make me a happy person. I can ask Allah to give me more rizq than, because I don't know. But I can't force Allah on one particular night to do what I want Him to do. I can't say, well, Allah, tonight is Nisfu Sha'ban. I'm sorry, but you know, this is it. This is the night. I'm going to go to your masjid and you will have to lengthen my umr, give me rizq and do. We can't do that. In fact, we say in the dua, you know, astaghfirullah, I've been making this dua my whole life. But this is what we say. Yeah. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. We say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must wipe out that which is written for us. In the Ummul Kitab, meaning in the book, in the main book where everything is written, Allah must replace it for us. As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of anything, and you could ask Allah for anything. But there is no space. Every day is a day when you must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time is a time to make dua. There's no specific night on which this can be done. And then the rest of the year, you forget about asking Allah for anything. So first of all, Sheikh Shaltut says that this is an attack on the ghuyub. Hujum ala ghuyub ista'athar Allah bi'ilmiha. This is an attack on the unseen powers and written documents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about which only Allah has knowledge. Only Allah knows. And he says there is no textual proof, nas qata', textual proof either in the Quran or in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which confirms that you can do this. You can ask Allah to remove, to change. After all, we know that even before you created, Allah knew everything about you. Allah created you with your deeds, with everything you do. Allah knows everything before you were even made, before you were created. But we do not know. This is how Nisbu Sha'ban started. First, people made dua. Then somebody came along and said, not enough, read you Surah Yasin. Then somebody came along and said, not enough, make 6 rakat sunnah, 2 rakats, and then you ask for this, another 2 rakats. So this has been building and people have been adding. Now I see people are now walking after this. They walk to the graveyard and they also go there. So that's going to be the 4th edition. 1st edition, 2nd edition, 3rd edition, 4th edition. And I've already said this. This is unfortunately, when it comes to man-made additions to the deen, this is normally what happens. Every person comes along and adds his something to it. Why? Because it's man-made. Why can't I add anything to Ramadan? Because it is given by Allah. Why can't I add anything to Eid? Given by Allah. Why can't I add anything to Al-Qadr? It's in the Quran. Nobody can do anything. You can't make it 2 or 3 nights. It's only 1 night. As the ulama has come together, some said the odd nights. That's also hadith. But the general consensus is it's 27th night. These things can't be changed. Dhuhr can't be changed. Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. Why not? Because these are things which has been commanded by Allah and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you will notice anything which man brings about is subject to change. That's just how we are. It's like your car, you know. You change it. Buy another car. You change your house, you know. You add another room. Make a double story and new kitchen. And people think that they can do this with the deen also. So this man said, yeah, but this other masjid here in Gatesville, he says, so you must walk to the graveyard, you know, this night. Make dua in the graveyard. That's his edition. 4th edition. And then another 5, 10 years, somebody else will come and say, maybe we should fast, you know, for 3 days. It's good to fast, you know, fast for 3 days. Somebody else will come along and say, you must do this and do that and do, eventually, like the people of Nuh, as you heard Friday in the Jummah, eventually, we create a completely different deen. Completely different deen. From what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought us. And so the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's what the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Bada al-Islamu ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban kama bada wa tuba al-ghuraba. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this religion started strange. I mean, you look at me and say, this is strange, you know. 300 years we've been telling, this is not strange. Right? This man now comes along and tells us that this is not part of the deen. It's strange. When the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and told the Quraysh, you know, you shouldn't do this. Don't bury your daughters alive. Don't worship the idols, you know. Don't make salah naked around the Baytullah, you know. And don't charge people interest, you know. Don't do all the bad things that you're doing. Don't oppress, you know, the people and so forth and so on. The Quraysh found this very strange. Very, very strange. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, so this deen started very strange. And he said, again, this deen will become strange. Why will it become strange? Because we would have lost contact with our Quran. We'd have lost contact with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it again becomes strange. Fatuba lil ghuraba. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the deen is again going to become strange, then give good glad tidings to the strangers. And Nabi was asked, man hum ya Rasulullah? Who are the strangers ya Rasulullah? Who will they be ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be those who will hold fast to the Quran and Sunnah in the time of fasad. Not only will they do that, they will rectify. They will rectify those things which is not part of the deen of Allah. I mean, it is not by accident that we see what we see unfolding in the world today. It's not by accident. It's not by accident that what's happening in Syria is happening in Syria. It's not by accident that what is happening in Egypt is happening in Egypt. It's not by accident what is happening in Libya and Afghanistan and Iraq. This is not accidental. This is planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is happening in the northern part of Mali, where the shrines and the Al-Qaeda and so, this is not accidental things is happening. This is a preparation for the coming of the hour. I'm not here to tell you, oh, you know, the world is going to come to an end. That's my job. I'm not a prophet of doom. But if you look at the scenario of the world today, you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing the world for the supremacy of Islam again to rise. And when the new Islam, not new Islam, astaghfirullah. And when Islam is again going to rise, it's going to prepare the ground for Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, who will come and destroy Dajjal, who will be the epitome and personification of bid'ah and shirk and everything that goes with that, will be destroyed by Isa alayhi salatu salam, and that will be the final hour. So what's happening in Syria and Egypt is all this ground planning and preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing the world. And so maybe after 300 years of our stay in this country, we are also doing the same. Maybe we're also going through a process of purification. Maybe we're also going through a process, inshallah, of getting closer to the real essence of Islam and what it really means. And it's a very simple deen. Very simple and very straightforward. The only responsibilities which is placed upon you are those responsibilities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'm not here to convince you nor to tell you what to do and what not to do. I am only here to tell you the truth as it stands. And it is my responsibility that if I myself find the truth is to declare it in front of you and to share it with you. You can say, sorry, I don't accept it. That's your, you are at liberty to do whatever you want to do. But I want to remind you of a hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This hadith is reported in Imam Muslim, or by Imam Muslim, in his Sahih Muslim. A hadith by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. What does the hadith say? A man came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Prophet made a statement. He said, no person shall enter Jannah who has one atom of kibr or pride in his heart. Subhanallah. Imagine, there's a very serious statement. Prophet ﷺ made a very serious statement. He says, you have one atom of kibr, one atom of pride. And we all have pride. Every one of us has some pride in us. Isn't it? Let the man put up his hand who has got no pride. Just by being human, you have some pride in you. Isn't it so? So a man got up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what about a man yuhibbu an yakuna thawbuhu hasanan? What about a man who likes to wear beautiful clothes? Wa na'lu hasana, and he likes to wear beautiful shoes, meaning Prophet makes an example. He says, oh Prophet, what about a man? He likes the nice things in life, you know. Likes a nice topi, likes a nice dress, nice phone, nice car, nice house. Is that kibr? Nabi replied. He said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Nabi SAW said, Allah is beautiful And he loves everything which is beautiful. So the man asked, then what is kibr, ya Rasulullah? Tell us what is kibr, ya Rasulullah. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Four words. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said four words. بطر الحق. What is بطر الحق? What is كبر? Prophet said كبر is number one. بطر الحق. What is بطر الحق? بطر الحق is when you hear the truth and you say I don't want to accept it. That is كبر. You say what? I know you're speaking the truth, but you know, I'm of the old school. You know, I can't accept this. I can't. My father did this, my grandfather. It sounds like the truth. All the hadith about this is weak. I know that. So many people have said that. Everybody has said this is not part of the deen, but you know, I'm of the old school. That is called batarul haqq. Rejecting the truth when you hear the truth, you have kibr in your heart, you will not enter paradise. I'm making it sound terrible, isn't it? But unfortunately, that's what the Prophet said. He said, that is kibr. Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. What is ghamtun nas? To look down upon other people. Astaghfirullah. Sometimes we all have that nas. We should try and get it out of our system. We come from a system of apartheid where we were conditioned to look down on other people. You know? The whites look down on the colored and the colored look down on the blacks and so forth and so on. And even within families, if you're a little bit dark, you know, a little bit shun, as you lekker lig van kleur gewisset and you try to get the white card. I mean, I went through that system, you know, we know our families were split. You know, the bietjie witterige familie het wit gehou and ander familie is bietjie colored gehou and ander familie wat swart gewees het, shame. So, that is what the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam meant when he said, don't look down upon other people, because that is kibr. So tonight, at least, if you accept nothing from what I have told you, at least take these two messages home. You hear the truth, you say, ala ayni wa ra's. I accept it unconditionally. Even if I don't agree with it, I accept it unconditionally. I have to, otherwise I compromise my Jannah. And Jannah is not to be compromised. So, it went through these stages. Dua, Yasin, and finally somebody added 6 rak'at of Salah. Now I've already said to you that the month of Sha'ban is a special month. Like the month of Rajab is a special month. Like the month of Ramadan is a special month. And what is the speciality of Sha'ban in which we are now? It is that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasted more in the month of Sha'ban than he fasted in any other month except the month of Ramadan. So what is the celebration of Sha'ban in accordance with the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is to fast in the month of Sha'ban as much as you can in order to prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan. Imam, the three scholars, this Mahmoud Shaltut, as I said, and Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad Abdu, those of you who know him, and Rashid Rida, those of you who know these great people, have done much deeper studies than what I can ever do, and research on the ahadith of tonight. And finally, this is based on dhan. Dhan means opinion. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, oh you people who believe, keep clear of a lot of opinion. Keep clear of opinion. Stay clear of opinion. Why? Allah says, inna ba'da dhanni ithmun. Inna ba'd. Some opinions, is not all opinion is wrong. Some opinion is wrong. Some opinion is sin, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When is opinion sin? When you use your opinion on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you're not allowed to do. So, and we base our belief on yaqeen. On yaqeen. What is yaqeen? Yaqeen is that which is firmly established in the Quran and Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So with those few words, and I said I'm not going to keep you for very long. I said it's going to be between Maghrib and Aisha. And because we're all here tonight, and we made Maghrib, mashallah, in Jama'at, what if I tell you, tomorrow night is also Nisfu Sha'ban, will you come? You won't come. Despite the fact that you love Nisfu Sha'ban so much. If I tell you again, it's next week and Wednesday again, this Ramadan. No, man, it's only one night, you know. One night is enough. So, because I've got you here tonight, inshallah, and this is not a celebration of anything. This is just so that we may connect with the Quran. We will read, inshallah, Surah Yasin once. Because we're in the month of Sha'ban. And Yasin is Qalb al-Quran, the heart of the Quran. And we read it in order for us to benefit from it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should put light in our hearts, nur in our hearts, so that we may see the truth, the haq for what it is. And that we may take the barakah of the reading of Yasin. Inshallah, when we go home, take it back to our homes. And inshallah, I will make a dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must guide us and show us and make us min al-mutasannineen bi sunnati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of those who practice the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my final words, of course, is to you that I don't mind if you say, oh, I condemn me, let me speak Shaban. It doesn't concern me. It won't even hurt me. I'm not going to cry over it. I'm not going to say, oh, the man's liking me for my name. That's not my problem, my dear brother. My only concern is, what am I going to say to Allah on the day when I meet Him? When you're going to run away from me? يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي. Allah says, the day when one brother will run away from the other, your mother will run away from you. You will run away from your own mother and your own father. And what will you say? Your mother will come to you and say, Faik, please, you know, can't you? You're a sheikh, you're this, can't you? Say, Mama, Ekati, no, listen. Today is only me. I am only concerned about my own salvation. So I say these words to you and I convey this to you because on the day of Qiyamah, you can't tell Allah, he wanted to be famous and he wanted people to love him and he knew the truth after many years and he didn't tell us. He kept it to himself. Never said anything. But remember the other thing also which I say to you, whatever you want to do at home, in the four walls of your house, you want to go home now and make tahajjud salah tonight and read Quran and make Yasin, please. There is nothing which stops you from doing whatever you want to do inside your house. Make dua, but not this dua. Make another dua. Make the dua that we normally make, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rizq and for good health. And ask in English if you can't ask in English. Speak to Allah. I met a man this afternoon and he was telling me finally, I'm not going to be too, what time is Aisha? We have a few minutes. I met a man, he said something which I want to convey to you, something very nice. He said, you know, since he has translated the salah for himself. And he understands what he's saying in the salah. His salah has become so much. He's become so much more. He said he was a person who whose mind used to drift a lot when he made salah. But he says, since, you know, as seeing the translation of the Fatiha, the surahs he recites, and what he says in the Tashahud, and what Subhan Rabbi al-A'la means, and Subhan Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi means, and what Sami Allahu liman hamida means, Rabbana laka alhamd, what it means, he says his salah has become so much more effective. And maybe this is a good message which I can give you tonight. That message which a simple man gave me, ordinary man. Because I learn every day. If we speak, people speak to me, I listen to what they say. And if it's a good idea and it's good nasiha, then I convey it to whoever I meet. Maybe I can convey this to you this evening. Because the highest form of ibadah is salah. And if you understand what you're saying, because people always say, you know, I don't know whether I made 3 rakats or 4 rakats. Ask those who are on pension. They tell you they don't even know whether they make 4 rakats and they say, well, they made 4. They say, well, I made 3. I'm going to make another one. Then when they did that one, they say, did I make 4? They make another one. Then it's 6 already. The man came and says, yeah. Then he thinks, did I make 4 now? It's 3. Then he made Hadara Sival. And one of the reasons for that is because we don't concentrate enough, not on the salah, but on what the salah means, the meaning of the salah. And another thing he said to me, and I don't want to keep this from you, he said, you know, he used to buy a lot of sweets for his children. And he used to put it in a big plastic container. And whenever the children want to have chocolates, you know, we spoil our children, chocolate and sweets and chips. They just go to this container and take out the chocolate and chips in it. And then they would eat it. And he said, but this is bad for my children. So he said, what he did was, he bought whatever they liked. So if he see, saw his children like Kit Kat or chips or whatever, he would buy it. And then he would give them pocket money and say they must buy it from him. So if the thing costs 10 rand in the shop, he'll sell it and say for 3 rand. But he says, what happened was that he would now control the intake. He knew exactly now what they were eating, and they were actually paying for what they were buying. Good idea. I think it's an excellent idea for people with young children. So he became the shop owner, shopkeeper. So he would have all the goodies there, and they would get their pocket money every week, and they would come and buy from him. Then he says he added something else. See how clever people become. He says, so what he did was, he instituted what he called a PIN number. Some parents can be so, what's the word, inventive, creative. Says he created a PIN number. Listen to this. And what was the PIN number? If they wanted to buy sweets, they had to tell him what is the meaning of Bismillah Rahman Rahim. So today the PIN number would be, if you tell daddy, what does Bismillah Rahman Rahim mean, then you can buy this chocolate, which costs 10 rand for 2 rand. And tomorrow, the PIN number will change to, what is the meaning of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin? And so the third day, fourth day, every day would be a different word or a different expression, and they would have to know the meaning. And he said, now by the end of 7 days, they would know the whole meaning of the Fatiha. And you would repeat it continuously so that they won't. Then you go to Qul Wallahu Ahad, Qul Binnaq, Qul Falaq, and so many other things. You know? Don't you think this is very good? Because we're always looking for ways in which we can get our children to learn in a fun way. I mean, this is all about, you know, learning the deen in a fun way. That is why the Sufis get so many followers, because they do things in a fun way. You can dance, jump up and down, put the lights on. No, I'm serious. That is why the charismatic churches, we call them charismatic churches. Why are the people running away from the normal churches and they go to these churches? In all the main roads you see, all the big buildings have been turned into nice, beautiful buildings, and
You go in, there's a nice band in there, and you can go in there on a Friday night and dance with your girlfriend and bring all your, you know, the mini skirt and everything goes. Because it's fun. It's a fun way. I'm not saying we should do that to our children. What I'm saying is when they're small, there are certain things. But if we are going to go get all kinds of other things of the deen which is not part of the deen and teach them that which is no fight up for them, rather do the things which teach them the Fatiha, teach them the Salah. Maybe tomorrow it can be, what does Sami Allahu liman hamida mean to your child? That's the password. Rabbana lakal hamd can be another part. Subhan Rabbi al A'la wa bihamdi. Subhan Rabbi al Azim wa bihamdi. And I was going to say, maybe you can have a lot of draw every month, you know, for the big. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've gathered in His masjid, in His house. We ask Him to bless us, inshallah, to put barakah in our lives, to guide us towards the Quran, to make us love the Quran, to make us love the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make us love His sunnah, to make this deen a really sweet for us. Not bitter, sweet. Like a chocolate that you want to eat, this deen. And may we not put upon ourselves the responsibilities which Allah has not put upon us. And may we strive to make our salah on time. And if we can, in jamaat like tonight. May we strive for that. And may we look forward to Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins, inshallah. Not only on this night. Every day we must ask Allah to forgive us. We're all sinners. Big sinners, small sinners, but we all need forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you need Allah to forgive you, can you ever ask anybody else? You know, I was reading, but you know, you look so alive in front of me and nobody's sleeping, nobody's dozing off, so you know, you encourage me to speak more, but this is, finally, I'm not going to say anything more than this. I read in the newspaper the other day, have you heard of Voyager 1? Have you heard of Voyager 1? Voyager 1 is a spacecraft filled with goodies like microphones and whatever, cameras. This Voyager 1 was sent into space 35 years ago. Some of you must have read this in the Times. 35 years ago, they sent this satellite into orbit. This satellite has now reached what the scientists call the edge of our theoretical world. Subhanallah. What does that mean? It means it reached the edge of the world as the scientists think it is the edge. It's like this satellite is now 2 billion kilometers away from the sun. So it's gone very far. Voyager 1 has gone very far. 35 years. It's still sending signals back to Earth. So now this satellite has reached the outer. They now sent Voyager 2. But now this, imagine now this satellite has reached the edge of the universe as we know it. The scientists predict, of course, that this satellite will go on. It will go beyond our universe. Whether it will survive or not, nobody knows. So I read this and I said to myself, Subhanallah. Allah created this universe. So big. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How great is this ilah of us that He created a universe so big? Subhanallah. That this small little thing is traveled 2 billion miles away from the sun, it's still traveling. This Allah that created this massive universe, what will I say to Him on the day of Qiyamah? If I went through Him, asked Him by a dead person. That came to my mind. What kind of a mind is it that brings brings this Allah, this ilah, down to the level of a dead man. How do we justify this? That this Allah created the heavens and the earth. So large that we can't even imagine how big it is. Isn't it a beautiful gift from Him to me and to you that He says, ask me, worship me. I've created the universe. I'm your Allah, I've created this universe. I say to you, Ummah of Muhammad, my gift to you that I've not given to any nation before you. The people of Musa had to go to Musa to make dua to Allah. The people of Isa had to go to Isa to make dua if they wanted to make dua. The people of Nuh had to go to him and say, Nuh, you must be. This is the first ummah to whom Allah has given the gift of sujood and direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be like that. Because Allah would know that in this time we would know the outer reaches of His creation. How great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And how great we are as Muslims. And how proud we are, not kibar, how proud we are to be part of this Ummah of Muhammad. So this is the message of tonight. Every night is Nisfu Sha'ban. Every night is Nisfu Sha'ban. What does it mean? Every night we make Maghrib and Isha, should make it in Jama'ah. That's bottom line. Bottom line is, Salah is the foundation of this deen, then it's the foundation of the deen. What you do in your house of dua and yaseen and whatever you do of tahajjud with your children and dhikrullah and arwah and hadat that you do in your house with your children, barakallahu fiqh, that's all part of your development as a Muslim. But in public, we show the face of the Islam which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, like Jum'ah and Salah. And Lailatul Qadr and Ramadan. This is the public face of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us, inshallah.